Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin AC. I don't remember the last time, Jay, that I did two in a row here in the office. This is amazing.
I do know this, Kevin. This will be the last one you do in the office for almost a month, because I know you have a very welcome All-Star break coming up after this weekend series against the Cubs. And then you head out on the road and you go east and you go to Cooperstown and then the Padres go to the Midwest. 23 days. Is that what it is?
I got to go look at that travel budget
again.
It always is that, Jay. You're like my wife. That's always like that. Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune. Cubs coming in, not exactly coming in hot, but they are a game out, the game behind the Milwaukee Brewers in the Central. This confuses you, Jay?
It does. Looking up some Cubs numbers today, I'm confused that the Cubs aren't like eight games in front. They have the best run differential in the National League at plus 105. They lead the National League in runs, in hits, in batting average, on base, OPS. They're second in ERA. The only thing I can figure without having really, you know, dug into the team and not having seen them a whole lot is their starting rotation doesn't look like it's been all that effective. Kyle Hendricks hasn't been what he was. You know, Yu Darvish was a complete bust so far, eight games. You know, Quintana, Chatwood leads the majors in walks, so we have that to look forward to tonight at Petco against the quick-working Clayton Richard. And John Lester has been fantastic, as have many of the Cubs relievers. So I'm guessing it's the rotation that has let them down, because I looked at these WAR numbers, and we won't get into this because we did it last time, but they have seven guys on their roster that have a WAR higher than the Padre with the highest WAR. Will Myers is up to 1.8. The Cubs have seven guys who are at least 2.0, led by Javier Baez at 3.2, one of the most exciting players to watch in baseball. So it should be a fun weekend. You know the crowds are going to be big. Probably, what, maybe even 50-50 in terms of Cubs-Padre fans, but it's still always...
It depends on what you call the Dodger. What did you call the Dodgers the night you were there?
The night I was there, it looked like, 40% Dodgers.
Okay.
Maybe a third.
I was there for at least parts of three games.
Right.
Most of two games. Thank you, Jeff Sanders. I had other stuff, you know, other things to do. It depended, but to me, it was never less than 40. Sometimes it felt like 60 or 70.
Yeah.
So it was never less than 40.
I would think the Cubs would, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the games are even more than 50% Cubs fans. And it's obviously it's a weekend, which is a big deal. And, you know, the weather's great and there might be people here already for Comic-Con. I don't know. Del Mar season opens next week. There's so much going on.
I had no idea there was so much else going on.
Exactly. But right. Then there's the Padres.
So maybe the Cubs, they'll probably not. There are a lot of contenders in the National League, more than you maybe would have thought.
Yeah.
Don't think the Cubs would be in the market for like a number four or five starter, do you?
I don't know. I mean, looking at what they have so far, have received from some of their guys. I mean, the weird thing is they have two five-game losing streaks with a team that's this good, but they also have two five-game winning streaks and a six-game winning streak. So let's just say they've been streaky. And they're 3-3, I think, in their last six coming in here. They've been here for two nights already. You know, it's one of those weird things. I think this happened to the Reds earlier. They came down on Wednesday after a long game in San Francisco.
It's a requirement of the new CBA with the extra off days that every few years a team gets an extra night in San Diego.
Right. I'm sure that's something the players would give up quite a bit for. So there probably was some golf course or beach or both that were very crowded with Chicago Cubs yesterday. But right, what about the Padres? What are we seeing out of the Padres
right now? They lost three of four, and this is about, gosh, this like perfectly describes the Padres season. So they lost three of four to the Dodgers, who are now in first place by themselves in the National League West. They won a game, a close game. They lost two close games, and they were blown out. Perfectly describes the Padres season, where they could look and say, hey, we were close. And they can look at last night's game in Andy Green. Of course, it was as predictable as could be, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But of course, talked about these at-bats in the ninth inning. And you know what? He wasn't lying. Austin Hedges' at-bat was fantastic. Christian Villanueva's at-bat was fantastic. But they're just not... And look at Austin Hedges has been hot as heck.
No, he's
so
been.
So take this away. But they're just not good enough to get hits all the time at the end of these great at bats.
Yeah, I mean, it was what? I think it was 16 pitches for the first two batters against Jansen. They ended up making him throw 29 pitches in the inning. But in the end, they didn't get anything. So they battled, and it's kind of that word is kind of a running joke in some quarters. And I think if you ever tried to play a drinking game where you heard announcers, not just here but all over baseball, talk about somebody battling, you'd be passed out by the third inning. But the Padres do battle, but they've always battled. I mean, when Bud Black was here, they always battled. That was a hallmark of the Bud Black teams. It's a hallmark now. I don't think this team lays down very many nights. They get beat because they aren't good enough.
And there you go. And it's something that they're very well aware of.
Right. No, I don't think it's a surprise that the Padres aren't very good this year.
Another drinking game, and I'm not sure which one. Pre-game, it would be at this point in time for Andy Green.
Okay.
Post-game, it would be about grinding.
Okay.
He's grinding. He's okay. grinding. And one guy grinding is Eric Hosmer. Holy smokes, this has reached epic proportions. When I wrote about it last week, you could say arguably the deepest slump of his career. It is now the deepest slump of his career, inarguably.
Right. And I was someone, we talked about this when they were talking about signing him. I did not think, given if you told me, should they sign Eric Hosmer, should they not sign Eric Hosmer? I told you I didn't think they should sign him. Bryce Miller actually wrote a column saying he didn't think they should sign him. They signed him anyway. He's been good at times. I don't doubt his leadership, but it's almost painful to watch him right now when he comes up to plate. He cannot be this bad.
It is painful.
You can't see a guy at his age suddenly, to quote our old friend Nick Canepa, suddenly forgetting how to play baseball. And it's when he comes up, that's why I couldn't believe last night Myers was up with two on, and I know he was the tying run. 3-1 count, and they're throwing him a strike. I would, with a left-handed pitcher out there, you've got to take your chances at this point with Hosmer until he shows that he can beat you. And at this point, I think maybe once in the last 3 weeks, he's maybe had a big hit
that we thought was going to be the slump buster, because
right.
that's been his his trademark. Again, Jay,
and so what's the answer?
You would agree, right? It's too early to declare whether you and Bryce were right.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't have a great fear that I'm going to be proven wrong at any point in these next 8 years. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good player. I just stand by the same reasons that I gave before. I don't think he's a franchise player, and that to me was pretty close to franchise money, especially for this team. But at the same time, I can't believe that Eric Hosmer can be this bad for this long.
Well, and that's why I'll say that there's a chance that you'll be wrong. And the only definition of you not being wrong is them winning a world championship. It really is. I mean,
how about getting to the World Series? I'll take that.
Because here's where I'll argue with you that it could turn out differently. And I've been doing this for 25 years, and I think 15 or maybe more of those have been covering professional teams. I have never seen anything this quickly like what Eric Hosmer has done in the clubhouse. Now, he has to hit 280. He has to have 800 OPS. He has to do
right.
his job.
Right.
This and being a leader, get you a cup of coffee in Ron Fowler's office. Okay,
yeah.
That's it. I'm saying that if he's
get
Eric
a cup
Hosmer,
of coffee
he,
thrown at him, or does he get him a cup of coffee?
To be the player he was, and the leader that continues to set the tone for the next 5 years with the supposedly fantastic prospects turning right. into championship caliber players, then you're wrong if they make it to a World Series, win a World Series.
Correct.
Otherwise, okay, you're right.
And look, whether I'm right or wrong is irrelevant in the big picture. I mean, I think we,
worth it or not worth it.
Right. It's like, look, is he going to be worth it or is he not?
Yeah.
And at this point, no one's going to care whether I'm right or I'm wrong. I mean, we've seen that in the last week or so, or probably longer than that. But
they don't even care what you say.
I know, but I do think that, I just meant wrong in terms of him being a franchise player.
Right.
Now, if you throw in the leadership stuff and he turns this clubhouse around, which it sounds like he has,
mm-hmm.
and then Tatis comes in and Urias comes in and then these other guys come in and the pitchers and all this stuff, and they end up winning, then great. Then nobody could argue that it was mm-hmm. a good signing. Right now, that seems to be a long way off, and you certainly would expect more production. And I mean, Hosmer, without even knowing him, I'm sure would be the first to admit he's got to be better than this. And the question is, how does he get to that point? And, maybe 4 days off at the All-Star game, changes things. And he goes to Philadelphia after the break, and it's a hitter's park, and he knocks a couple out. The problem is, it seems like every time he's up now, the ball just gets pounded into the ground, even more than his career numbers. And it's really hard to get out of slumps if you're just going to keep hitting ground balls to the second baseman.
They're going to start really making that dirt in front of the plate because he'd gotten a couple chopper singles.
Right.
On the other hand, and it'll be interesting to see how the Cubs handle Will Myers, because honestly, in terms of production percentage, it's incredible. Will Myers is what Eric Hosmer was earlier in the season, like, except for they were actually winning games in which Eric Hosmer was producing.
Right.
But you can't ask any more Will Myers.
No, Myers is the guy. It's the opposite. When Myers comes up, you're excited to see him come up and to see what he's going to do.
It's been about 12 games now. Not bad.
It doesn't mean anything, and he could go in a big slump. It's baseball. But he's been fun to watch, and you're right. It'll be interesting to see how the Cubs pitch to him and who ends up hitting behind Will Myers. I mean, do you put Hosmer behind him? I think they had Renfroe behind him one night. I mean, there's just I'm not a guy that will crush Andy Green for doing different lineups, because I don't think there's anything that should be any set lineup with this team. There's not enough players to be set at enough positions where you can
say,
do that.
You can't do both. Except on Twitter, you can't. You can't talk about the lack of talent and who shouldn't be hitting here or there, and then also say, but they should be hitting in the same place every night. You just can't.
No.
Now, a set lineup, which we are seeing more, especially left-right.
Correct.
We are seeing more, and I think that is a organization-wide, in addition to an Andy Green decision, that we will be seeing Renfroe every time there's possible. We will see Manuel every time there's possible. When you go against righties, you're going to see Travis Jankowski, at least for a time. And we'll see what happens when the All-Star break is over and we see Luis Urias. Did I just say that?
That was going to be a question, is when do we see Luis Urias?
I absolutely believe. I mean, AJ Preller is going to the Futures game, which doesn't mean he's going there to, there are telephones and agents.
He's not
going to
hand him a rose you get to go to Philadelphia.
To me in first class. We're headed to Philly.
We're going to Philly.
No,
yeah.
But Luis Urias is coming very, very soon, let's say.
Okay, and that's
he's
good.
He's been
that's
heating another up. They've been waiting for him to dominate AAA, and he hasn't. But here's the thing. Do you remember what he did in spring training? I'm not just talking about the six doubles and the stats. The guy looked like he belonged. He looked like a player who's going to step up. And everyone that I've talked to who's been in AAA, which is like half the roster for the Padres, be it on a rehab or descent down, I'm basing it not only on what I saw, what AJ Preller saw, what Andy Green saw, but what these players are saying is, you know what? You sort of would have expected him to, especially in the Pacific Coast League, to dominate, but the kid's got it. Mm-hmm. Bring him up.
Right. So that'll be something that we'll be eager to watch. I mean, they, of course, they have to open with 2 out of 3 weeks on the road coming out of the All-Star break.
Home for 5 days in between. Now, August and September, when you're going to see a lot of these kids, they're home a lot.
They're home a lot, yeah.
So
that'll be good, and we'll see. I'm sure we'll see more than him. And
of course, the beginning of September, when Tatis will perhaps be here, they're on the road for 10 days. But we can't have it all, Jay. Did you know the Dodgers are done here for the season?
I had heard that. Did you know they did not play a weekend series? And you're going to see this weekend when the Cubs fans fill the place what they lost at the box office by taking that one weekend to Mexico. But I'm sure they were well rewarded for it.
They were compensated.
Yes.
Over.
Yes.
Yes.
And they even won that series. They didn't win the other series that they played them here. So maybe they're, next year they're going to move them all to Mexico.
Next year's the NL or the AL East, I believe. I hope I'm not wrong on that.
That sounds about right.
AL East. I don't know the breakdown. But.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, we're going to take an All-Star break. Okay.
We will do that. We'll do this next week when you're back in Philadelphia, starting your 23 days away.
Mm-hmm.
But enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the All-Star break. And same to everybody else out there. And we'll talk to everyone next week.
Jay, coming up, can we tease something?
Yes.
How about a couple things?
Okay.
Coming up, I know Jeff Sanders has a mid-season minor league report. Is that correct?
He does.
That'll be during the All-Star break.
During the All-Star break.
Okay. This weekend, maybe a little something on uniforms from me. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's fun. Do you think it might be about brown, or maybe it's about blue, or maybe orange? I don't know. And take a look at AJ Preller's trades since we're hitting the trade deadline. As in every trade he's done, I'm not going to list them all, but how has AJ Preller done and what do we have to expect? And then, of course, a midseason report of some sort on the Padres, as if we haven't spent every single day talking about how they're just the Padres.
Right.
All right.
I'll look forward to it.
I wanted to do that.
Thank you.
All right. See you after the All-Star break.